Good morning.
I don't claim to be a singer, y'all know that. But God has laid this song on my heart this morning. And I just want y'all to know that I honestly believe that He's put this song on my heart because He's going to speak to somebody. It may not be through this song, it may be through the message this morning. But I want you to know that if God speaks to you, this altar's open. And I may walk down in the crowd, and if I do, I don't do that to make you nervous or, you know, my hearing is failing me in my years. I'm only 35, but my hearing is failing me. And I've got where I have a problem hearing up here, so I can hear better down there. So anyway, y'all listen to me.
Thank you.
compassion, welcome me home. Sweet mercy falls like rain. I know there's a place. I know there's a place.
Amen. Boy, that was wonderful, Brother Joe. Praise the Lord for that this morning. Place called grace. Aren't you so glad you found that place? And aren't you so glad to know today, if you haven't found that place, that it's only one decision away. This morning, if you have your Bibles and you would turn with me to Mark 7, and find verse 21 this morning. This series of messages that we have had together on discipleship, I want to bring to an end today. But I want to leave you perhaps with a very impressionable message that will help us in the days to come. The question I want to ask you to begin with is the title of our sermon today. And this applies to every human being in this place today. What do you want to be when you grow up? What do you want to be? What do you want to become? Because every day that we live, we are becoming something. And I want you to think about that this morning. What do you want to be when you grow up? I can do a devotion with these glasses on, but I don't know if I can preach with them. So I may have to take them off somewhere in the midst. Don't let it distract you. I don't like them, but if they'll help me, I'll go along with it. What do you want to be when you grow up? You know, we have looked at a series of discipleship messages. During that process, we have had revival. We have had homecoming. And these are messages from my heart, which I believe were given of God, was for this church. Where are we going? What are we doing? What is God doing at Lebanon Church? I'm not worried about any other church right now. But what is He doing here? And that question continues to resound throughout our people's tongues and, you know, and any time we get together. What is God doing? And I wish that I could give you a very clear answer. I seen as of last week at homecoming that we got to make some more decisions pretty quickly. Because as we have been running over well over 200 for several weeks on end, and I understand that homecoming is a time in which a lot of people will come. It's a special event. But I didn't see a lot of people come home. I just seen people who were already here making a special effort to be here on that day. So that tells me that we are capable of running 300 people if everyone is here. I understand that there are shifts in church. People get sick. They have vacation. They have to work at times when the ox is in the ditch. I understand that. But it does make me realize that this place is a place in which God wants to minister to souls. Not just those who visit, but those whom are members already. To every one of us. In order that we may be changed. So that we can be the vessels and become those people that He has called us to be. not only impacting our own lives, but influencing those who are around us and are dying and going to hell. With no hope, it may seem. And that breaks the heart of a Christian, but it is a chant among the world because we are totally different, or we should be. So God has put us together, not coincidentally, but God has brought people into the midst of this church that in order that if we could come together in unity and strive together for that one cause, there is no telling what we as a church could accomplish. Last night I went to my first college game. I played high school ball, loved it. Wish I could go back and play, can't. I went and saw Carolina play LSU last night. And I don't know all the details. I'm a rookie. But I saw some 80, 90,000 people minus that corner that LSU people were sitting in, chanting and roaring, feeling the William Bryce Stadium jumping up and down. And they were chanting and cheering for one cause. All the different colors of people that were there, culture, nationality, were standing in one facility, chanting, ranting and raving that their team would have the victory. And I couldn't help but sit there and think, why is God's church not doing the same thing? No, I didn't get my message just last night, okay? But to go along with it, why aren't people in church this morning? There's a lot of reasons, aren't there? I won't even care to begin there. But I do believe that it is possible that we as people can come together in one accord, wanting the same thing. It is possible. I have seen it. And where 80 to 90,000 people can stand together, so can the armies of God stand together. It is possible. And I won't believe anything otherwise. So how do we get there? Well, that's part of my job. To help you get to where you need to be. There is no power in me, but it is the power of God. And a lot of times I look in the mirror and say, why me, God? Not to question His movement in my life, but to say, Lord, I am so inadequate. I cannot do anything. And there is always that constant reminder, you can do anything as long as I am with you. Stop doubting yourself. So when He reminds me, I come and remind you of the same very thing. 2 years from now, we have the potential. We could be running 500 people very easily. Will we? Are we ready for that? Are our leaders ready? Are our lay people ready? Is that really what you want? The simple solution for this preacher would be to go into a church, open up the doors on Sunday morning, run 50 faithful people, have smaller problems, smaller issues, play a few songs, preach the word, go home, come back that night, do the same thing and go home. But somewhere along the line, something is missing. Complacency. Shame on the ministers of the word who take part in such a thing. Shame on Christians who accept it and love it and will not accept change. I don't want to run 15,000 people in Effingham. But if God wants it to be, we'll run it. Or we'll always suffer as 50 to 90 or 100 people. Because we were not completely submissive and under subjection to the will of God. So therefore, we will stay in maintenance mode. And we will never have the feeling that I had last night when I seen people just like you and I. Not spiritually necessarily. But as long as you live in this life, you're going to live in the same flesh that a sinner lives in. So it's possible. Well, how do we get there? We have to be discipled and disciple others. This has to be an organization in which God is able to feed your souls and we are able to feed other souls that they may grow and mature in the will of God. We cannot play patty cake, bounce around in and out of the truth, playing these childish games, and ever expect to mature or grow for the glory of God. It's time to get serious about the work and the will of God. If it means a Saturday, you got to give it up. If we begin to offer classes to train and teach our teachers, you got to be here. It's not optional. Or you need to resign. We don't do it to push people around and make them do things they don't want to do. But if we are going to be faithful servants of God, it's going to require your time and effort to improve. And we are not ready for 500 people, church. We barely could handle 300 last Sunday. We were in a panic. We were not ready. We're not ready. That is my fault. But it will not be my fault if we do not accept how to be discipled and how to make them. It will require more than the hour or two that you are giving to this facility week in and week out. That is not how it will be accomplished. Don't even fall into that trap. When you go to the Baptist temple or some of these churches, people were getting ready to sing before the service ever started. The choirs are practicing way before the services ever start. Don't expect to show up at church time and begin to perform and turn around and wonder why all the chaos. The chaos is because you did not prepare. Don't look at your students and wonder why they're not listening if all you're doing is 10 minutes on Saturday night or early Sunday morning and coming in and trying to tell them about God. And the same goes for the pastor right on down. If you're not willing to give the time, get out of the way. If God is working in this church, He's got somebody to replace you. Or He's ready to mature you. The truth hurts. So I wanted to start with that first and then we'll move on. Are you with me this morning? Say amen. Why do I say this? Because I hate you? No. I love you. I want Lebanon Church to be on the top of every staff, every sheet, given to mission, given to the children's home. Those who sent the most to the weekend retreat for our teenagers. Yes, I want that. Is that bad pride? I hope not. But when I get to heaven, I want God to be able to say that was a soul-winning station in a place in which they did not stay babies, but they matured and got on the meat. And that will come. Because we got serious about God's business. It is not just the preacher's responsibility. You were washed in the blood, becoming one of His children. It's time for you to get up and accept your family. That brings us to our title again. What do you want to be when you grow up? What does this church want to be when it really is a first-class church and matures to the level in which we bring excellency and simplicity every time we walk through the threshold of this city? I can live with a lot of things, but I can't live with 50%. Don't want 110. I just want 100. It's the same thing you expect from me, amen? Treat people and expect the same from people as you're ready to give. So what is the title today? It's about change. Every message that we have preached who's out there, I really can't even see right now. Every message that we have preached on discipleship, there is something wrong, and I'm trying to understand. Why is it, and it is not the priest, the preacher cannot push the Spirit into your heart. That has to flow. That the Spirit of God has to move into your life. I can preach hard, I can preach soft, but if the Holy Spirit does not move, nothing will happen. And if you are emotionally pumped up, your sight, you just left a pep rally. But you know, I've learned that people who left a pep rally on Friday were not even in the game on Friday night. A pep rally is good. I want you excited. I want you jumping. I want you ready to go. You know, hey, I'm ready. But I'm going to tell you right now, a fighter without any training is going to get knocked out. So jump around like you want to. But when somebody knows how to counteract it, and Satan does, he'll knock you flat on your back. And you'll wonder, why God failed me? Christianity isn't all it cracked up to be. No, you're not all you cracked up to be. That's the problem. And I just wish some people, if they're not ready to go forward, they would take their badge off and lay it down and walk away. Imposter. Treason. Guilty. And if you are not ready to stand up and say, I, Mac Atkinson, am a child of God. I am a Christian. And my sole purpose in this life is to serve Him, not to make a dollar. My sole purpose is to be His servant. I want to be an instrument, a tool in which God can use. And when we're standing on high one day and we look back, He says, look what we did together. Instead of look what we could have done together. There ain't no coming back. You'll never come back. Once you leave this world, you're not coming back. Aren't your life already full of regrets? Mine is. And you're probably no exception. Why add to it? Why multiply? So we need to change. But my messages don't seem to get through to some people. The people who need to hear it are not listening. And the people who I didn't really care if they heard it or not because they're doing good are the ones so offensive because I'm preaching to them. I don't mean to wear people out. But my thing is, let's learn it, get over it, and we'll move on. And I'll stop beating the horse. He's already dead. Amen? So let's get it together. Are we together? I am so not convinced. Are we together? You're getting there. How about one more time? How about pretend like you're... Bring me something to eat, honey. Are we together? Yeah! Now I'm ready. Now here we go. We're going to change. I'm going to speak fast. You listen fast. And I pray for a moving of the Spirit. Look at Mark 7, 21, 22, and 23. For from within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murderers, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. And watch this in verse 23. All these evil things, all of them, come from within the heart. I'm adding the heart. Because this defiles the man. Ready? Number one. We need to be changed. Please understand something for me. When you got saved, that did not just take care of everything. It took care of your sin. But it did not mean you were done. Let me tell you what happens. I am not mocking anybody, but let me tell you what's happening. Ready? People are getting up from here. Okay? They're coming down here and kneeling. And they're praying. They get up. They go sit back down. Well, I'm glad I did that. Everything's gone now. I can live. And you've done nothing. What you've done is you've said, God, forgive me of my sin. Now, I'm going to leave this place and lead my life. And I just need for you to bless it, to help it. and you're not willing to change. That is the problem. That is the problem with Christianity today. There is a complete transformation. You are changed. You are dead to yourself. Gone. The old man is gone. The new man is here. All of your sin is asked. You ask God to forgive you of all your sins because you're guilty. Then you need to be willing to let go of your sin, but also let go of the old man. You can't say, God, forgive me of all of my sins, and then keep the old man. It is impossible. It does not work like that. So if you are serious about your sin leaving you, then be ready to lay down the old man and pick up the new man. There needs to be a change, and the change is not in your neighbor. Stop thinking about him right now. It's in you. It's in you. Now the change takes place. How does it take place? Yes, we need to make our confession public. We need to come. If you get saved at your house, that's good. If you get saved riding down the road, that's good. If you get saved on the telephone, that's good. But you need to come and make it public, declaring that you are not ashamed of the grace that has saved you. God is a jealous God. And He wants your attention and He wants your very best. If you're not willing to give that, get out. Or let's go forward. Because I believe a halfway Christian, if there's not such a thing, is worse than someone who is lost and undone in the world. You're worse. And truth be known, you've got just enough knowledge that you're scary. There again, you're treading ignorance and you're proud of it. We ought to be ashamed of that. Now here's the thing. Let's change. You ready to change? Are you really ready to leave that crowd you're hanging out with? Are you really ready to leave that job that's causing you not to live godly? Are you ready? Are you ready to move from where you're living? Because you know as soon as you get back home, that temptation's right there. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to leave where you live in order to live for God? God would never ask me to do that. He'll ask you to do more than that before it's over with. Because when God has asked you to yield your life completely and surrender all to Him, there is nothing worse that we want to hear. Because it is not our nature or our instinct to surrender and give up completely. You get hungry, you'll find something to eat. Might be worms on a brick. Might be crickets. Sound bad, doesn't it? But you'll survive. Because it's your instinct. It's my instinct. Are we ready to change? We need a change. Christopher Columbus found America on a sail to Asia. There has been an award that someone has tried to give out to those who emulate Christopher Columbus. The citation reads as this. This award goes to those who, like good old Chris, when they set out to do something, don't know where they are going, neither do they know how to get there. When they arrive, they don't know where they are, and when they return, they don't know where they've been. That's Christianity today. That is Christianity. Christians need to be, so-called Christians in this era, for the most part, need to be given this Christopher Columbus Award. You don't know how you got there. You don't know what you did when you got there. And you can't tell nobody where you've been. Then how are you going to be an example? If I ask you to stand up today, tell me what happened when you got saved. Well, see, what happened was, you didn't get saved. It is unmistakable. What's wrong? Somewhere we got to figure that out. How do we figure that out? There's one who can help us today. Ready? You want to know what His name is? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is probably the most underestimated part of the Trinity. We talk about God the Father, God the Son. But who is the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit? And they are the same, by the way. Some will contest that, but they are the same. Who is he? He is the one that Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, but I will not leave you comfortless. The third part of the Godhead, the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit, without the Holy Spirit, you could not, would not be saved. And there are too many planned occasions at the altar or riding down the road in which the Holy Spirit is not luring you unto the Father. Therefore, you're just going through a citation or words. Because I will tell you, you cannot underestimate the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, we need to change. We need not take the Christopher Columbus Award, not knowing anything about anything. So now we need a change, but not just any change will do. What happens when a wife is in depression because her drunk husband is beating her or beating the kids or will not support the family? She's in a state of depression. What will I do? But the only way she gets happiness is because the drunk husband gives her a divorce. Wrong way out. It is never God's will for a couple to get a divorce. And that's going to hit home because a lot of our people have been divorced. That's the trouble you have a lot of time with deacons now. You can't have deacons because the Bible says that a man has to be given to one wife. A bishop has to be given to one wife. So how do you form? You get into a crossfire. The Bible is very clear on what it says. Do we compromise the Word of God to get His job done? No. How do we form deacons if people have already been given to one woman or one man? One woman. How do we do it? Where is the answer? But God is still the same. And He's not in the obituary. They didn't find His body in that tomb. Amen? He's still alive and well, and He's still working in the local church. So how do we accomplish it? How do we change? You say, well, preacher, you don't have a clue of what happened in my relationship and why I got a divorce. You're right. But somewhere, one party or the other was not in complete submission or subjection to God. One wasn't. Because when God takes that union, He says you're one. God don't back up on His Word. He don't change it. Even for you. Things happen, don't they? We can't rewrite the past, can we? Now hear me now, because I'm probably going to get some flack from this. One of the people in that couple were not submissive to God. One of them wasn't. Because when your couple gets together and they say, God help us work this marriage out, He'll work it out. If both people are ready. But it takes two, doesn't it? Takes two. Now, we need that change. Now, one worker, one of us is working in a dock and we hate our foreman. Dislike him, hate him. Don't want to be around him, can't stand his presence. But the way we get happiness is because they moved the foreman to the other side of the dock. That wasn't the answer. Not just any change will do, church. You are not the author and the finisher of your faith. God is. He is the author. Now, we see here where it comes from within. You know why a lot of the time we have an escape goat? You know why we won't change? You know why people won't become disciples? You know why people will always stay babes in Christ and suck on the bottle and love the pacifier and want somebody to change their diaper and pat them on the little bottom or on the back every minute of every day? You know why that'll remain? Because people are not going to change. But pride goeth before the fall. Your pride will put you on your back. It's coming. Stay with the pride scheme and it's coming. You're going to be eating dirt. That's God's Word. That's not my theology. But that's the theology of this Word. It's coming. Your sin's going to find you out. Whatever it is you're doing, it's coming. It's going to find you out. You can hide it from me. You can hide it from your wife. You can hide it from your husband. You can hide it from your mom or dad or your auntie or your grandmama or granddaddy. You can hide it from your neighbor. You can hide it from your teacher at school, but it will find you out. It's just a matter of time. So we need to be what? Sanctified. If I ask most of the people in this church what sanctified means, you cannot give me the definition. You would give me one, but it may not be entirely true. But instead of trying to give you a very elaborate definition that you'll forget in about 5 minutes, I want to tell you what it means to be sanctified and how to be sanctified. To be sanctified, to be set apart, to be separated, to be different, to be holy and usable of God. Is God able to use you because you're sanctified or because you think you're dignified? Most Christians get dignified. They never get truly sanctified. The moment you come and get saved, how many sins did God save? How many are gone? He saved you from every sin, didn't He? You're as completely as pure as white as snow in your soul at that very moment. Very moment. You know what He sanctifies? You and Him. There is nothing between you and the Father right then and there for sweet communion. Does it mean you're perfect? No. Does it mean that you might still slip up and say a bad word on Monday because you've been using it for 13 years? Yes. People just get out of church and they just quit because they feel like there's no hope. We are creatures of habit. And to be sanctified is a day after day after day effort. And the only way you will be completely sanctified without any effort is the minute you take your last breath or the trump of God sounds and you're standing in His presence. Until that day, you will every day have to work at your sanctification with God. It does not mean you're perfect, but it means that you are making an effort. But how do we get sanctified? Preacher, you tell me what. I want to be sanctified. I got sanctified the moment that God came into my heart, He saved me. But God has given you the Holy Spirit to keep and help us. He said the Holy Spirit has sealed us until the day of redemption, until that day. But how do I do that? We need a change. Not just any change will do. We can't compromise. It is a trip to hear people talk. I heard people last night talking at the ball game when I was standing there getting me some popcorn. And I heard some dude. Now, let me tell you what the church is looking like in today's society. No wonder everybody will go to the ball game. I don't blame some people for not staying home and catching the race early today. Listen now. They need to be there for pregame for NFL today. Well, I'll watch the NFL when I get home. I like. But people are going, you know, come to church. You know why? Because this is how Christians are doing. Now, they're not in that 3 or 4 hour window at church, but this is what they're doing. I heard a guy last night, a guard, okay, at the William Bryce, and two guys were standing there talking about their church, cussing their pastor. How many of you here do that for me? What? About got you. But the thing is, cussing the church and cussing when the offering plate come by. Now, if that don't make you sick on your stomach, I don't know what will. And then turn around and invited a fourth man who walked up to come to their church. I believe that there are different severities of sin and what God is going to do to people. I think some people are going to really suffer the wrath of God and the plagues of this Bible. That don't scare you or fear you. You need to pray for a moving of the Holy Spirit to stir your soul. People don't care. They're deceived. The father of deception, Satan, is moving and working And he has some of you in that same deception. And he's ruining your life. He's got your soul in his hand. And that's why he's not messing with you. He's not going to rock the boat. He's got you exactly where he is. And listen to me. As long as you can justify what you're doing, it is not sin to you. Find somebody every time somebody confronts them with a problem, they begin to justify, making reasoning why it's okay. And as long as you have a reason for justification, guess what? The father of deception has got you where he wants you, and it's not sent to you. So if it's not sent to you, you're not going to take it. You will die in that. And you mean to tell me that this is not true? Not true? That you mean to tell me that the circumstances of this life are going to control it? When God said in His Word, it is what is within you, not what's around you. It's within you. You take a tea bag, put it in a cup, take the hot water, put it in the cup. All the tea bag does is it's released by the hot water that surrounds it. That water has no bearing on the flavor in which that tea is going to produce. The flavor is always inside. And the flavor of who you are and your character and who you really are deep down inside your soul, when hot water comes, and hot water comes in many different ways, many different people, many different circumstances that you sit around and justify and make it okay. When God says it was always what was within your heart that come out, was extracted by the hot water. But you and I will always say, if it weren't for that hot water, if it weren't for those circumstances, if it weren't for those blessed, cursed people, I would be okay. You're justifying. And as long as you ever do that, you will always live in that sin. Forever. Forever. It was never the hot water. It was within your heart all along. And you're going to stand and look God in the eye and tell Him He was wrong? No. You're going to fall on your knees, in which you never used in this life, to pray and confess with that tongue that you never exalted His name. And He's going to say, depart from me, ye worker of iniquity. You worked it. They didn't work you. It was in here. You know why people are never going to grow up and become disciples of God? Because they can justify living in sin. Because they are not ready to let the Spirit of God. Here's the Spirit. You want to be ready for the Trinity? The Spirit of God wants to take the Word of God and change you into the likeness of the Son of God. That's it. Period. That's what the Holy Spirit is and what He does, and that's how you're sanctified. The Spirit of God, keep it simple, people. The Spirit of God will take the Word of God and change you into the likeness of the Son of God. That is God's goal for you. To be like His Son, Jesus. That's it. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Don't make a mountain out of a molehill. That's it. Stop right there. Cut your mind off. Pull the plug. Don't indulge any further. Now, we've heard that we're bad people. Well, preacher, you didn't have to tell me that. I live with me all the time. I don't need to come to church and get pounded and somebody tell the truth about me. How can I get over it? How can I leave Lebanon Church this morning and become a sanctified Christian? Someone who is determined and ready, desperate to be an instrument in God's toolshed. You may never lead anybody to Christ, but your influence will change soul after soul, countless souls. It's a domino effect. How many people have Billy Graham saved? He didn't save a soul, okay, but his ministry. Think about all the people in those crusades were saved, but how many have trickled and moved and treed out from there? Because one man said, I want to be sanctified for God. One man. One person. People laugh at him, but you keep on stepping. Don't ever look at me and tell me you can't. That don't exist. You need to be mortified. What does mortification mean? That you die to your deeds. You die. But here's the pattern for a Christian. Ready? God, forgive me my sins. I want to make sure I'm going to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. It's hot down there. It's hot in the summer around here, but I definitely don't want to go to hell and die. So God, I definitely want to escape hell, so I need to go to heaven. That sounds like the better alternative. You sound like a better man than the devil. So I'll just go with you, okay, God? That's wrong. That's going to last about 3 seconds. But when the Holy Spirit of God reaches down in that pew and you grab your heart and you whiten nothing on the back of that pew because you won't give it up, that's the Holy Spirit of God telling you, you need to get saved because you might just be gone tomorrow. Yeah, that's what He's trying to tell you. And guess what? Will that Holy Spirit leave you? Yes, sir. Oh, yes, sir. That Holy Spirit will leave you and stop moving in you. Now you tell me how you're going to get saved without the Holy Spirit. You can say it all you want to. Call on His name. If the God does not move, if the Spirit is not there, you will die in your sin. So play with God if you'd like and keep wasting time and set it up in your little schedule. And it may never happen. Mortify, die to your deeds. You got to die. You can't say, God, forgive me my sin, but now Holy Spirit, assist me in my living. No. Holy Spirit, lead me in my living that I may assist you. Meditate on His Word. If God cannot speak to your heart, how will you know what to do? Manifestation. Live it. Live it. What happens as a result of the Holy Spirit? When you are mortified, you die to your deeds. Say, this is it. Preacher, today, as of today, I'm laying it down and I'm walking away from it. Number two, I am going to start cutting the TV off or start setting up a time early in the morning, maybe during my coffee or late in the evening after I lay the kids down to bed. I'm going to read the Bible and meditate on His Word. Number three, and from this day forward, from this morning, from this Sunday morning, you're going to live for Christ no matter what the economy does. No matter if you lose your job. No matter if you're starving. No matter what, you're going to live for Christ. No matter what. No matter what happens to me. No matter if the person I had the most respect for in this world is one of the elect and is confused and gives into the world, I will serve God. Are you that determined? If you're serving for any other reason than you love Him and you want Him to be in your life and you want Him to save your soul from hell, it will not stay. It will not remain. In return, the Holy Spirit restrains you and by its power is enabled to produce fruit for Jesus. The mind is renewed through the Spirit illumination. Fills your soul. And Christ is revealed. Does your life produce fruit? Are you living for Jesus? Or here's the truth this morning. Or are you living for yourself, wanting Him to assist you in what you're doing? That's me. I get guilty of that. But what can we do this morning? We can fall down before God and say, God, help me to be filled with Your Spirit because my tank is empty. I need the Spirit of God to move in my heart because these things I've prayed after and sought after, I've been doing it in the wrong manner. And God will not bless no way but His way. And if the Holy Spirit is dealing with you this morning, you need to respond. And what He does is He takes and just fills you up, floods your soul, and pushes every worker or every work of iniquity from you. And because the Holy Spirit lives in you, Paul said that He died. He's been crucified with Christ. And we're crucified with Christ, but yet you live. But not I, but Christ that liveth within me. Unless we come to that concept to where we say, I'm dead, but I live because Jesus Christ lives in my soul. Jesus lives your life now. You don't live it. You're just along for the ride. Working until He calls us home. But ambitions and attitudes have to be completely to Him. It's a high calling. Not everybody wants to be a Christian. But everybody is called to be a Christian. Even you. Even you. Even you. And if God cannot help you, then we will always live in the misery of this sinful nature in this world. It will not work. So can we do this as an altar call this morning? Can you tell me that you're completely sanctified by the Holy Spirit of God? You are set apart. You are different. People can tell you different from the world, but you're set apart. It's almost like training a little leaguer. Sometimes if you don't pull them to the side and talk to them one-on-one and have that time, you'll never get through their thick skull. And as long as we're busybodies out in the world and God doesn't have that time with you, you're never going to be what He wanted you to be. I don't want my life to be a failure. I don't want to get to the end of life's row and know that my complete purpose in life, I failed. I don't want that. But I know today, on this Sunday, in this church, with you people, that if I don't accept the Holy Spirit of God, I cannot just call on Jesus. I cannot just praise the Father. That I have to receive the Spirit of God every day. Not just Sunday. Today is just the day in which you begin. Receiving the Spirit of God. And working on your faith every day. Because it's a fight. But it's worth it. These 70, 80 years are gone. 90 years, whatever. You got all of eternity to think about this message this morning. And why you did respond or why you did not. It'll be on your mind for eternity. Because I think the Holy Spirit moves in people when you're talking about Him. It's a perfect opportunity. So I'm asking for a change out of you. For us to be prepared and be the church that God wants us to be 5 years from now. Tomorrow. Whenever it is. But we need to do something different this morning, don't we? We're talking about change. I can't ask you to change if I'm not willing to change. How many of you in here this morning are born again of the blood of Jesus Christ? Raise your hand. Hey, that's an army of one, isn't it? Amen. I'm proud to be a Christian. I won't just tell this congregation. I'll stand up and tell the world. I ain't ashamed. I serve the most awesome power in the universe. That's my God. But how many of us need a filling of the Spirit of God? Not just this morning, but we need to pray in the days to come. God will keep us. Keep our minds in check. That we're remaining sanctified for God's use. For His teaching. We have to change. If you're not ashamed this morning, raise your hand. How many of you need it? Here's what we're going to do. You need salvation this morning? You come get saved. We'll pray with you. We'll carry you in a prayer room. That whole room over there is a prayer room. We'll take you one-on-one and help you understand what it means. But what I need this morning is not because a neighbor moved, but if you are willing and ready to claim Jesus Christ into your life, I need you to come get saved. All I need for you to do is just step up. Now this is going to be very bold. You ready? If somebody in here needs Jesus this morning, I want you to get up. Stand up. I want you to come down to this altar and pray. Come on. There we go. That's right. Bold. Ready. It's different, ain't it? But it's easy to hide behind your head, bowed down, looking at the carpet and your eyes closed, and hiding behind a hymn book or a youngin' in your arms. Come on. One's done made a move. You ain't the only one. Who in here has never received the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart? You have never done it. Or you can vaguely remember it. That don't count. Come on. I don't care how young you are. Young person. You ever been saved? You know you're going to heaven? Come on. Come on. It's just that easy. Because He has already paid your ransom. All you got to do is come and ask it. Come receive it. How many of you been saved in here and need to make it public? You can't never remember coming before. We need to come down to the altar. Come on. Let's go. Is He in here? Are you ashamed of it? If you're not ashamed of it, get up. Come on. I'm serious. Church, I'm not playing any games. The reason Christians don't get anything done is because they're not bold enough to stand up and say, I am who I am. I'm calling the lost person. You hear me preach on hell several times. But you ain't got to go there. You ready? Come on. We'll give you the plan of salvation. Hey. Brother A.C., will you pray with Aaron here? He got saved and he wants to make it public. Come on, church. Hey, let me tell you what's going to happen. If you don't hide behind that name and you get out and make it known, guess what's going to happen? You're going to live it because the expectations are high. Let me tell you what's happening in this service. Be careful that we don't deny Him. It's dangerous. Now, if the Holy Spirit ain't dealing with your heart, don't move. Because that's an imitation. That's fake. It ain't your time. But do you see what I see? Do you see the opportunity? Do you see that you're within 60 to 80 feet of going to heaven? Do you see that? Hey, do you see that? This is what He designed. This is how He set it up. Now, this is what I need. If God has spoke to your heart, and not because I've called you out, but because God spoke to your heart. Ready? Ye Christian, your tank's empty. And you need a filling of the Holy Spirit of God. Because you need to be sanctified and set apart for God. This is your time to get up and come pray. Come on. I know our altar ain't big enough. But I ain't going to let that stop me from being sanctified and filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Come on, you can get on my shoulders. They're pretty big. I'm serious. Let's go. I love you. I don't want to see you suffering in this life. I don't want to see you because you did not receive the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And that, because of that, you suffered. But as long as you are living your own life, you will not be successful. It is the Holy Spirit of God within you that will empower you. Are you ready for someone else to lead your life? Come on. I need one of my auto workers to come pray with this young lady. She needs somebody to pray with her this morning. Brother Jim, will you pray with her? I know she's doing it. Miss Judy, if you will. Will you pray with us? This lady. I know that's praying. Will you pray with her too? God's speaking to her heart this morning. Is God speaking to your heart? We're fixing to go home, and some of you are bored to death. But for the ones who came this morning wanting to see God, are you content? I'm ready like you. I'm ready to go eat, but I'd rather feast on manna. I want to eat from God's table. Amen? But we're never going to be the church that God wants us to be unless we are filled with the Holy Spirit of God, led by Him, sanctified by Him every day. Will you bow your heads with me? Christians, you pray? We're fit to leave. But I'm going to tell you right now. There's somebody in here needs salvation. You ready? Are you ready to be saved? Sanctified. Set free. A change. Why is everybody talking about Lebanon Free Will Baptist Church, Cross Florence, Cross Effingham? And truth be known, I ain't hearing a whole lot of negativity, except out of the pastor, and that's normal, you know. It's because God's moving, and He's working in your life. Now guess what's going to happen from the day? We're going to leave this service fired up. We're not going to leave this service with our heads down looking at the ground. Stop looking at where God created you from and start looking up where He wants you to go and what He wants you to become. Amen? How many of you believe that God loves you? Amen. How many of you believe that God loved this world, that He sent His only begotten Son? That whosoever believeth in Him should have everlasting life. You got everlasting life? Amen. Hey, God's good. Amen. Listen to me. There's a lot of good things happening in this church. There's a lot of good things happening. The clocks are broke. We don't know how to pay attention to them. But thank the good Lord, it wasn't long as homecoming was last week. Amen. I know I'd get a hearty amen out of that one. Amen. I don't want no more homecoming like that one. Amen. Woo! Man.